topic for this evening that Mike assigned to me comes from the book of Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to back up to verse 9, but it really focuses in on verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Paul says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may prove the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." Listen to this carefully now. "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." One of the things that jumps out of off the page to me is the idea that we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we won't confuse that, though we're going to tie it in here in just a moment, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and the fruit of the Spirit. But I want us to notice something here. This word filled comes from the Greek word, and I'm probably not pronouncing it exactly right, but it's pleroo. And it means to abound in something. Not just a little bit, but the idea of being superabundance. So much that it almost overflows. And that seems to be the idea that Paul is trying to get across here. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by, that is, through Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Why am I supposed to be filled with the fruits of righteousness? Is it for my own good, my own edification? Is it for people to praise me, to pat me on the back? No. The idea is to praise God. We are to give glory and praise God by the fruits of our righteousness. The purpose of man here on earth is to praise and glorify God. We see that in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, where Isaiah would pen these words, "Everyone who is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." This is Isaiah penning these words of God the Father for my glory. He said, "I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." When you stop and think about the glory of God, when you stop and think about the majesty and the sovereignty of God, how can we miss the idea that our very sole existence on this earth is to, well, as Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13, and 14, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is what we're here for. To not bring glory and honor to ourselves, not to look at self, but to point our lives and our actions to God. When we bring praise and glory to God by bearing the fruits of righteousness, we are actually saying something to the world around about us. We're saying that we are His children and that our actions, the fruits that abound in us, are designed for people to see God living in us. That righteousness. The fruits under consideration are the result of living righteously. Now, what does the word righteous mean? Literally, it just simply means to be right. Doing that which is right. It's the idea here doing that which is good and wholesome. But I think beyond that, when we use this expression righteousness from a biblical perspective, we understand that God is the source of all righteousness. He is all there is, just like He is in every other characteristic trait or every other aspect of God. You can't find any higher. You can't find any better than that. So when we talk about righteousness, it is that which is ordained by God. Why? Because God is the very essence of all that is righteous. If it were not for God, we wouldn't even have a concept of what was right. We wouldn't have a concept of righteousness. Now, you stop and think about some of the fruits of righteousness. Think about purity. You think about holiness, a holiness of life or purity of life. You think about how we live our life in integrity. Correctness in belief, correctness in thoughts, correctness in actions. In fact, when you stop and think about it just a little bit, go over to the book of 2 Peter in chapter 1 2 Peter chapter 1, and we read there a very familiar section of Scripture here that sometimes we talk about them as the Christian graces. But notice what he says here. We are to be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, verse 2, in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on down now to verse 5. He says, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. When you look at these aspects, if you will, of the fruit of the Spirit, the very first Wednesday that we started this in this month, Brother Mike had the lesson, and he accurately pointed out that you cannot say that you have the fruit of the Spirit if you're leaving any one of these out of your life. Every one of these must be part of this in order for you to say, I possess the fruit of the Spirit. You can't leave out love. You can't leave out self-control. You can't leave out virtue or knowledge or perseverance. You can't leave any of those out. Now, add to these, we've already talked about purity and holiness of life, our integrity, how we live our lives, our correctness in beliefs and thoughts and actions. We've talked about the Christian graces, if you will. But now let's do go over to the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. Paul had already talked about the works of the flesh. Now, notice those are works, but when we come over to the Spirit, he talks about the fruit, singularity, of the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we can't leave any of these things out, can we? We have to possess each one of these things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, against such there is no law. And once again, we look at this concept. And we can really appreciate the idea that as Paul would pen these things by inspiration, that we can apply these things to each one of these elements to the idea of being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Each one of these things is critical. You can't leave these things out and say that you are being filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Now, God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. How do I know that? Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then notice what he says in verse 17. For therein, where? The gospel is the righteousness of God. Turn in your Bible very quickly to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And notice what he has to say in verse 7. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, that is God the Father, is righteous. Now, when you stop and think about that for just a moment, all these things that we talked about, all these elements, if you will, that make up the fruits of righteousness that we're to be filled with, John answers a question for us here. He answers the question, how are we going to be filled with these things? We must practice that righteousness. It must be a part of our daily life. And to end up, to finalize things, only the Christian, nobody else, can be filled with and thus bear the fruits of righteousness. Anybody who's not a child of God, anyone who's never put their Lord and Savior on in baptism, one maybe has believed that Jesus is the Christ, and maybe even they've gotten to a point where they're saying, I'm ready to repent of my sins, but they still haven't been baptized to have their sins washed away. Maybe they've even gotten to a point that they're ready to confess the name of Christ before man, but still have not been immersed to have their sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. You cannot be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. You have to take that final step to become a faithful child of God and then to live as God would have you to live. If there's anyone here this evening who's never put on their Lord and Savior in baptism, maybe it is the case that you have come to the point where you do believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Maybe you have had that inclination, that mindset, I have to repent. I have to change from the way that God would not have me to be to the way that God would have me to be. Maybe it is the case that you're ready to confess the name of Christ. Then you're ready to have your sins washed away in baptism. We ask the simple question tonight, why not tonight? Why not make that decision if you have not already done so? And maybe it is the case that you are a child of God. And maybe we've kind of forgotten this concept of being filled with the fruits of righteousness, being filled to an abundance, literally to the superfluity, to the point that it's overflowing. And maybe we've let things in this world, as our theme has been this entire month, distract us. It's time for those distractions to go away. If there's anyone here who needs to respond to the invitation plea, won't you do that right now as we stand and we sing this song?